tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 10th of July, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Nationalist, which means we have a special guest with us today. We have Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I actually showed up this week. We're doing great. Hope you're not suffering in the European heat wave, which in Texas we just call that summer. I hope you're not suffering over there too bad, Sven. I'll have you know, I'm sitting here and got my air conditioner blowing, and it says it's 71 degrees Fahrenheit because we do not use the metric system. We're America. It's 71 degrees, nice and cool. I've got my legs under a blanket because it's so chilly, because we're contributing to the climate change with our air conditioners.
Your fascist air conditioners. That's what they were talking about this week in the news. They were saying that having air conditioning, it means you're fascist, neo-Nazi, because it means that you don't go along with the climate change theory. Well, over here, I've got a small fan on. I've got it on quietly. Hopefully it's not going to interrupt the podcast. And it was my fault, basically, that you weren't here last week, because I went away to the Patriotic Alternative Family Festival, and we could have done with some of that heat wave there, I can tell you, but at least we did have lots of people there and we had a great time despite the bad weather. Well, today is the 10th of July, tomorrow is the 11th of July, and there's a tradition in Northern Ireland where they set these bonfires going on the 11th of July. And this tradition goes all the way back to William of Orange, King Billy of Orange, who our listeners are probably aware of, because he's the guy that gave the tender to the Bank of England to the Jews, after letting the Jews back into the country after Oliver Cromwell. And the Northern Irish, they're very supportive of this king, and they're very supportive of Protestantism, and they have this tradition of setting all these bonfires up over there. And I think over the last few decades, they put effigies up there. They would put Catholic effigies up there, and I think that's all stopped now. And now it's become a bit of a tradition to put political things up there. And last year they had Stop the Boats, and they had this boat with refugees inside it. And it sort of reminds me in Lewes, the city of Lewes in the south of England, on the 5th of November, they have a similar thing. They have a bonfire and they burn effigies. And I can remember they burnt an effigy of Boris Johnson holding Theresa May's decapitated head in his hand. So these effigies, they can be quite gruesome. And this effigy that we're going to be talking about today in Northern Ireland, it was basically a mosque, but not just any mosque. It had an ISIS member hanging out the side of the mosque with an ISIS flag, which pretty much says that this is extremist Islam. It's not talking about moderate Muslims, is it? Clearly, if it shows an ISIS flag. But the mainstream media are furious about this. And we're actually going to be taking our news piece today from GB News. The headline is, Northern Ireland man arrested for suspected hate crime after replica mosque placed on top of bonfire. Now, this is on his own land, mind you, on his own bonfire. He's decided to put this papier-mâché mosque on top of it. Now, he's now been arrested. So let's have a look at the details here. A man has been arrested for a suspected hate crime after the replica of a mosque was placed on top of a loyalist bonfire pyre in Northern Ireland. Officers from the Police Service Northern Ireland have described the placing of a replica of a mosque on top of a loyalist bonfire pyre in Moygachel, County Tyrone, as a hate-motivated criminal offence. The model, visible on top of the pyre in Moygachel today, has been widely condemned by political parties. Northern Ireland Secretary and Labour MP Hilary Benn has described it as a sickening and cowardly act of intimidation. Well, who is it intimidating when it's got a guy with an ISIS flag hanging out of it? I mean, are we now supporting ISIS? Are we now saying that it's a hate crime to condemn ISIS? I mean, it even says stop radical Islam underneath it. It doesn't say stop Islam. It says stop radical Islam, which means extremism. And yet even GB News are upset about this, and all the mainstream parties are. I mean, I can understand them making a fuss if it was just a mosque on its own, but it's not. It's an extremist mosque, and it's quite clear in two ways. It has this ISIS jihadi hanging out with an ISIS flag, and it also says stop radical Islam in big writing next to it. And yet this is being seen as a hate crime. What are your thoughts on this, Grandpa?
Well, I'll answer your question. You said, are we now supporting ISIS? And my answer is, always have been. Let's not forget, ISIS was rolling into Syria, and the Russians were invited in by Assad at that time. You know, because the U.S. had a military presence there to, quote unquote, fight ISIS. And never could make any headway. And so the Russians come in, invited by Assad, and begin bombing and slaughtering the ISIS guys, and the U.S. threw a fit over it. So, yes, to answer that question, of course, we always have supported ISIS. It's a Western front. These things always, you know, like this. It's just serves as an example how most people are ill-informed and don't even, you know, understand. ISIS is, you know, with well-documented cases where these ISIS fighters, remember, ISIS was radical, crazy Islam, terrorists who never attacked Israel. And in fact, at one point, there were stories that came out that they were being treated in Israeli field hospitals. Wounded ISIS soldiers were being treated in Israeli field hospitals. So anytime ISIS comes up, that's the first thing that pops in my mind. And it's like, oh, you know, oh, my gosh, these crazy terrorists. This stuff, I always wind up, man, I don't necessarily intentionally, but I do. I think it makes the discussion a little more interesting to play devil's advocate a little bit, but it's not just intentionally being contrarian. You know, I mean, I don't care. The guy wants to put a mosque on top of the fire there and burn it up. You know, that's all well and good, but you know, they got the right to do that. But I mean, you know, what does this really accomplish? You know, I mean, it's going to be interpreted as disrespecting someone's religion. And again, it's whatever, I suppose, but I don't think it's necessarily beneficial. You know, the you see these political parties, what I'm trying to get to, and I'm not doing a good job of it, I apologize. What I'm getting to is you see all of these MPs, these politicians jump on this to be, you know, with their stupid fake outrage, and it is fake outrage. You know, oh, you know, they're outraged about this. And this is always a distraction. You just steer the conversation over to this. You know, look how mean and evil these people are being. They're burning mosques, and it just, you know, it takes the focus away. You know, oh, this is a hate crime. At this point in Britain, I think the list of things you won't be arrested for a hate crime is shorter than the list of things you could be arrested for a hate crime. You know, oh, look at this. This is a horrible hate crime. There's a horrible hate crime. This person has done such a horrible thing. When in reality, the British government, the U.S. government, most of these Western governments support Israel, who are literally genociding hundreds of thousands of Muslims in Gaza, that now they're moving in West Bank. Now, this is what gets me when they start off on this hate crime stuff. You know, this guy put a cardboard mosque on top of his bonfire, and all these politicians will fall over themselves going, oh, this is horrible, this is terrible. And then they turn around, you know, because this is so hateful towards the Muslims. And then they turn around and support Israel and America at this point, who are literally killing these people, you know, killing, who knows, hundreds of thousands at least, literally killing them, bombing them, You know, you look at the drone footage of Gaza, for instance, and it's just like, okay, so what's worse? This guy putting a cardboard mosque up there and lighting on the bonfire, or supporting a government that is literally killing hundreds of thousands of people? That's what I mean. These things wind up being kind of a rage bait sort of distraction. You know, these politicians love it because they all get to run out and say, oh, this is so horrible. You're being Islamophobic. You're being hateful. You're stirring up hate and it could potentially lead to violence. And they themselves support violence that has led to hundreds of thousands of people being killed and murdered. I hate, you know, talk about their hate. I hate their disingenuous indignation over these sorts of things. Oh, it's so hateful. And they support policies that literally lead to hundreds of thousands of people being killed. You know, don't come at me with, this is so pearl clutching, how hateful and evil it is. You know, it just, this is why they run to the forefront with this fake indignation over it, so that they can kind of posture and pretend like, you know, they're better. They said they're more moral. They're more morally righteous than everybody else. When the fact of the matter is, they support policies. They support government in the Middle East that is literally genociding Muslims. You know, that's A-okay. But if you put a cardboard mosque and light it on fire, throw this guy in prison.
Well, I mean, you ask what good it serves. I mean, it's basically a stunt, isn't it? It's just drawing attention to the fact that the Northern Irish are against extremist Islam. Why would they be against extremist Islam? Well, perhaps it has to do with this African chap that tried to behead a white man the other week after gouging his eyes out on the streets of Belfast. You know, this might be one of the reasons why the Northern Irish are against extremist Islam. And another point there, it's a mosque. It's not people. Again, they're saying this is a hate crime against Muslims, but it's a building. It's a replica of a building that's being put on the bonfire. Over in France, we used to hear about churches being set fire to every week, literally every week. An old traditional church was being set fire to in France. Nothing was done about it. None of the people were actually caught. And yet here you have a replica of a mosque, clearly a link to extremist Islam because of the imagery that's used with the mosque, and he's arrested for it. Then we have to wait and see if he's charged for it. Now, you brought up ISIS there, Grandpa, and another news story that I almost picked for today was Donald Trump taking Syria off the terrorist list. Now, the new president of Syria used to be the head of Hizbut al-Tahrir, an ISIS offshoot organization. They've always been a part of ISIS, but they were fighting against Bashar al-Assad. Now they've got rid of Assad, and this former ISIS leader is the president of Syria. He's now Donald Trump's best friend. He's meeting him in Ankara at their NATO conference that they're having at the moment, and shaking hands with him. And Donald Trump has just taken him off the terrorist list. Never mind the fact that he's the former leader of Hizbut al-Tahrir, this terrorist organization, because they got rid of Assad. Now they're suddenly best friends again, and Syria is no longer a terrorist nation. Is it safe enough for the former refugees to go back to? I should imagine that they will probably claim that it isn't. It's probably not that different to actually being under Assad. It's just that they're now more pro-Israeli. In fact, one of the reasons why Trump is getting so friendly with them is he was asking them if they could help out against Lebanon. As if Muslims are going to go against other Muslims. One of the reasons why they went after Assad in the first place is because he's Alawite. He's not actually seen as a traditional Muslim. Getting back to our notes here in Belfast, providing an update this evening, a PSNI spokesman said the display on the Moygershell bonfire is being treated as a hate-motivated criminal offence, and we continue to assess the situation. A 56-year-old man arrested earlier today remains in police custody. In a social media post, Mr. Ben said, "The placement of a replica mosque on the Moygershell bonfire is a sickening and cowardly act of intimidation. This is not about tradition, and in no way does it represent the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland. We must stand united and completely reject such hatred." Well, why wasn't he saying things like that about the beheading I mean, I would suggest that the majority of Northern Ireland are probably very much against having an Irishman beheaded on their streets by an African. Now, we don't know if the African was Muslim or not, but it is a bit of an Islamic extremist tradition to behead people. So you can see that they would draw a link between that beheading and extremist Islam. And it says here, this has been treated as a hate-motivated criminal offence. I mean, how can it be a criminal offence to burn something on your own bonfire, on your own land? And then to say that it's hate-motivated? Well, what is this hate-motivated against? Well, the hatred is being directed towards Islamic extremists. I mean, I'm just amazed that they can get away with this, to be honest, because really, you would expect Muslims to be standing up and saying, well, hang on a minute, are you saying we're all extremist Muslims then? I mean, this is clearly against extremist Islam. Are you saying we're all extremists if you're saying that this is anti-Islam or it's a hate crime against protected characteristics? Are you saying that we're all ISIS supporters? You know, you can put the boot on the other foot here. Grandpa, any thoughts on this arrest of this man?
They talk out of both sides of their mouths. The same people that are going on about this and using this as a opportunity to clutch their pearls and act like they're so, you know, so moral. They're on the moral high ground here. You know, look at how they treat people who protest on behalf of the Palestinians in Britain. They act they get the same treatment. They get thrown in prison too. And it just shows you again, this disingenuous nature of all of these politicians, and they should be treated, regarded with the contempt they deserve. We have to remember, again, I always come back to, they keep telling us all this diversity and immigration is going to make things great. When does that start? Because it doesn't look like it's working out real well. And, as we have pointed out multiple times and we've discussed multiple times, these immigrants that are coming are not the best from these countries. They are the criminal element. We've talked about that multiple times. So, of course, you have your natural friction from competing cultures, from vastly different cultures. There's naturally going to be friction there. The gas on that fire comes from the fact that these people who are coming are not, they're not the best of these nations. These nations are emptying out their prisons and they go to Europe or to the UK, wind up in the UK. So you have that friction, the natural friction from these different cultures, but then that's exasperated by the fact that you're getting the worst. You're getting the most criminal element. You're not getting, the PhDs and people who contribute to society in these countries. They stay and try to hold their society together. They stay and try to continue. This is where their lives are, their families are. Even if they're being bombed by these countries that try to act outraged about a fake mosque on a bonfire, they try to stay and hold their country together and try to hold on to the land that their families have oftentimes lived on for generations. The people who leave to go parasite off of Europe or Britain, they're the criminal element. They're the ones that they don't care. They don't care about the countries they came from. A lot of times they try to, I saw a story and I don't remember if it was out of Britain or one of the European countries. It doesn't matter because you're all the same over there. I'm sorry. Brexit didn't make any damn difference. They went on about Brexit. We're going to get Brexit. And they finally got Brexit. And it's the same BS as the EU does. But anyway, this guy had been, found guilty of murder, rape, whatever wonderful thing that they do. And they tried to send him back. And the country he came from said, we're not taking him back. Why do you think that is? Well, because he's a criminal. He was a criminal when he was in their country. That's why they got rid of him. Of course, they don't want him back. They'd have to put him in a prison and feed him and clothe him and take care of him for however many years. They don't want him back. It's your problem now. And of course, the government's act like, oh, yeah, well, I guess there's just nothing we can do. We can't send him back. So you got the natural friction of different cultures, but you have the criminal element. This is not, this is not necessarily representative of the people from these countries because you're getting the criminals. If you took all of our criminals from the United States and sent them to China or Japan, you know, and people were having to deal with these people, they'd be like, oh my gosh, these Americans are the absolute worst. They just, they steal, rape, kill. They're animals, these Americans. And it's like, well, that's not representative of Americans. It's just that we sent all of our criminal element because you said, hey, we'll take you in. And so we dumped our criminal element, you know, so it wouldn't be representative of Americans. And I think it's always, you know, it's do your due diligence and understanding that this isn't even necessarily representative of the people from these countries. You're getting the criminal element here for a reason, because Britain, the EU, they all just open arms, bring them on. So, of course, these countries dump out their prisons. And that's why when they try to deport them back, they're like, oh, no, we don't want them back. Well, why not? They're your precious citizens. Well, no, because they're criminals. We were having to keep them in prison and y'all said you wanted them. So we emptied the prisons. They don't cost us money. Their crime rates. I would love to see statistics, if they exist, from these countries where these quote unquote refugees come from. Some aren't refugees, but where these immigrants come from, that, you know, what their crime rates have done, because I would be willing to bet money that the crime rates in these countries that these people come from, whether it be Pakistan, Afghanistan, wherever, I would be willing to bet that the crime rates in the native countries have gone down. Why is it? Because they deported their criminal element, of course. And as I've said before, you can't blame them for doing it. If these other countries are like, oh, yes, we say multicultural, we'll just welcome the poor dears with open arms, give them a big hug, and they will become just like us in no time at all. Well, of course, they're going to say, sure, we'll take that deal. Here they are. Enjoy. I would be curious. I bet you the crime rates have gone down. So you have the criminal element here. And again, that's not to say you're not going to have natural friction with different cultures. That's just a normal thing. But then you add this element of this, you know, you're getting primarily, I believe, the criminal element from these countries. And it doesn't add to your strength of diversity.
Well, I did hear that there's more rapes in Europe now than Africa. And, I mean, that would tend to confirm what you were saying there, Grandpa, that after letting all the criminals out from their countries, that their crime rates have gone down. And I think the perpetrator you were talking about there was a Pakistani grooming gang rapist who was given something like 30-year prison sentence. He served 14 years, and they've now released him, and they've put him on a tag, and they've put him in a hostel. And they can't deport him because apparently he came to Britain before the Citizenship Act or something like that. And Pakistan are saying, well, we don't want him. And the Labour government are now saying, well, we're going to change the law. So we're going to force him back on you. But it's going to take them at least a year to do that, apparently. And also, I mean, they always have this excuse of, oh, well, we can't send them back to the country they came from because they would execute them there because they've been found guilty of sex crimes in Britain. So, and you can't send a person back to a country that's going to execute him. So that will be the next excuse that they wheel out after this excuse of, oh, we can't deport him because he arrived in Britain before this Citizenship Act in the 70s. The next one will be, well, we can't deport him because he's been found guilty of rape. And they execute people that are guilty of rape in some of these countries. I know they do in Afghanistan. I'm not quite sure whether they do in Pakistan. Getting back to the notes here, Amnesty International described it as a vile display and a blatant attempt to stir up anti-Muslim hatred and intimidate local families. Surely that's got to be seen as insulting to Muslims, because it's saying that criticising Islam is anti-Muslim. I mean, they're effectively saying that criticising ISIS, rather, is anti-Muslim. I mean, this is anti-extremist Islam. It says it on a big notice by it. And that this, and yet Amnesty International is saying they're trying to stir anti-Muslim hatred. Kashif Akram from the Belfast Islamic Centre told the BBC the display was distressing and insulting to people from his community, adding many Muslims were already living with heightened anxiety. Again, is he saying there that all his community are ISIS supporters? The Moygashel Bonfire Association has described the bonfire as an act of political protest against uncontrolled, illegal, mass immigration. That's excellent. The Bonfire Association haven't buckled. They haven't apologized. They haven't disowned this person. They've said it's a political protest against uncontrolled illegal mass immigration, which is what last year's one was. This one here isn't just against the uncontrolled illegal mass migration. It's about the effects of the uncontrolled illegal mass migration, the beheadings. Signs saying secure our borders and end the threat of radical Islam have also been placed on the pyre, which is made up of pallets and is due to be set alight on Friday night to mark the 12th. Well, it was actually set on fire last night to get rid of the evidence. Because these bonfires are notoriously unsturdy, how are the police going to go get up there to take the mosque down to use it as evidence? I mean, that would have been an operation in itself. So I assume that they were waiting for the police to do this, and so the owner set fire to it last night. But I don't think you could be any clearer. If you put a sign on there saying end the threat of radical Islam, you have a guy with an ISIS flag, it's obviously anti-ISIS, and yet the Belfast Islamic Centre says it's insulting to people from his community. I mean, it just seems to me that he's admitting that his community are all ISIS supporters. Don't you think, Grandpa?
It's just, this is all just rhetoric. And I want to hone in here, take the opportunity to hone in on this quote about being a protest against uncontrolled illegal mass immigration. Because there's a little bit, because we get that here. Republicans run on this all the time. You know, we're not against immigration. We're against this illegal immigration. And that's a little bit, it's a little bit of a red herring. To an extent, because it implies that there's no problems if it's all legal. You know, because what you have here with this mass immigration, they say it's illegal, but they don't kick them out of the country. They don't deport them. They let them stay. So it's de facto legal. They come over in a boat and they let them stay. They put them up, they feed them, they clothe them, then they let them stay basically indefinitely. They don't deport them. So technically, I guess it's illegal, but it doesn't matter. By default, the government has legalized it without actually passing a law. Now, the red herring part comes in, and this is going to be poor, I guess, in this sense, of more of an American-centric thing. But, and I was planning to get into this a little bit on my next show, and I probably still will. But, you know, you have, there was a story, and in fact, actually several stories, because the one I remember was the CEO for Xbox, part of Microsoft. You know, she's Indian. And they just laid off like 3,500 of their workers while at the same time applying to the government for 5,000 H-1B visas so they could bring more Indians in. So they would, you know, work cheaper and bringing in people from India. And see, it's all legal. It's all legal. It's all A-OK. So like here in America, and again, I'm doing the American thing and making everything about us, but no, so here you have people trying to be convinced that, well, they'll say at least Trump is doing something about the illegal immigrants because you have, you know, ICE driving around in vans and grabbing randos off the street and shoving them in a van and say, we're stopping the illegals. But it's A-OK as long as it's legal. You know, you got 3,500 people with decent paying tech jobs getting laid off while she's applying for 5,000 H-1B visas to bring in more Indians to replace them with. But that's okay because you see, it's technically legal. Never mind the kind of work that the people are grabbing off the street do. I'm not going to do. Most people aren't. I'm not going to stand up on a roof, you know, laying shingles where it's 120 degrees Fahrenheit up there. That's probably, I don't know, 8 million degrees or whatever in your Celsius. I don't care to look it up. But anyway, it's really hot. I'm not going to do that where I don't care if they got these guys up there doing, cause I'm not going to do it. And most people aren't going to do it, but they try to act like, see, we're doing something about it when the legal side of it is actually more detrimental to the American people and to the economy as a whole. But see, it's A-OK. It's legal. Now, again, I'm sorry I got off on an American-centric thing there, but a lot of times this whole focus on the illegality part of it, it's a bit of a red herring. Because again, going back to Britain, if they let these people in, they don't stop them from coming in, and they could stop them, but they don't. So they let them come in. They don't deport them once they come. They let them stay indefinitely. They give them money cell phones a lot of times, a place to live, you know, I mean, they just basically live off the dole. Is that not, they're de facto legalized. I don't care that technically by the law, maybe they're not. If you're not going to do anything about it, it's like, okay, you have a law against stealing cars. Let's say, you know, you obviously that's against the law. If you go out and steal someone's car, it's against the law. But if you could just go out here and steal people's cars, and it's well known that the police never, ever going to arrest you or put you in jail for stealing cars, it doesn't matter that it's technically against the law. You, if you're not going to get thrown in jail for it, then it's legal. They just haven't changed the written word of the law yet. If you're not going to get thrown in jail, it's legal. It's the same thing with this immigration. Oh, it's illegal immigration, but it's not enforced. They support them. They let them stay forever, basically. And so it's de facto, it's legal immigration. So I think it's important not to get hung up necessarily on the distinction between legal and illegal immigration, because technically there is no illegal immigration. If they're not going to deport them immediately, stop the boats from coming before they ever get there, then it's legal. It's all legal immigration. And of course, this is why the government loves stuff like this, because they run out and posture about, oh, how this is all mean and horrible. And this all distracts from the fact that if the government's job is to defend the homeland against invasion, then they're doing a pretty piss poor job of it, I'd say. They're doing a pretty poor job. See, they like that, because if you're mad at the Muslims and you're stirring up, and then they run out and interview this guy from the Islamic Center, and he says, oh, yeah, they're making us feel so uncomfortable. See, they've got everybody looking at each other, and nobody's looking at them. And so, you know, really the problem all of this comes down to is y'all aren't doing your jobs, are you? If you're supposed to be protecting the borders and protecting the country and managing security for the citizenry, you're doing a pretty piss poor job of it. You know, maybe the system isn't really working very well for us anymore. They don't want you having that discussion. They love it when they have something like this, and they run out and the media is all a part of it. They all work together. They run out and interview this side that says, oh yeah, they're so mean and hateful. And they run out on this side and say, oh yeah, they're awful being here. And see, they've got everybody doing this, and nobody's looking at the power centers where this all comes from. As I've pointed out already, the same people are going on and acting like they're so on the moral high ground over this, turn around and crack down on anybody that protests against genocide against the Palestinians. I'm not Muslim, but if I was Muslim, I'd be a lot more offended over people actually being killed than, you know, somebody putting up a stupid cardboard mosque on there. Is it disrespectful? It is. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I think it's bad taste. I don't like the idea of mocking, because I know it's, yeah, they're making a point that it's radical Islam, but still somebody's going to see that and they're going to, it's going to be, what do I want to say? It's going to be perceived as insulting. You know, I mean, it just is. And it's, I think it's kind of, I wouldn't do it. Like I said, I wouldn't do it. I think it's kind of in poor taste, but you know, again, whatever, it's a small potatoes. Should the police be involved arresting somebody over it? Really? Like Britain doesn't have any other problems with crime? Well, we know that's not the case. But it's just, once again, it's telling the things that they do decide to arrest people for, and they do decide to make an issue out of.
As far as resource consumption is concerned, you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a legal migrant or it's an illegal migrant. They're still going to use up the same resources. They're still going to use up the same space. They're still going to cost the same amount of money. But there is a difference. Even though legal migrants can be up to 20 times more likely to rape than the indigenous British, such as Afghans or Eritreans, the illegal migrants are 550 times more likely to carry out sexual assaults and rape. And that comes from figures for Dorset that were released by the Dorset Police after a Freedom of Information Act. How many crimes have been carried out by illegal immigrants in Dorset? And it turns out they're 550 times more likely to carry out these crimes than the indigenous British folk. So even though person for person, there's no real difference. The actual type of person, I mean, if they can get any worse, then 20 times more likely to rape, they can actually get any worse than that. And the illegal immigrants, statistically, are more, even more likely to carry out these horrific crimes. Well, the same bonfire site has attracted controversy in previous years. Last year, there was a condemnation after effigies of migrants in a boat were burned on the pyre. Amnesty International's Northern Ireland director, Patrick Corrigan, said this vile display is a blatant attempt to stir up anti-Muslim hatred and intimidate local families. It must be met with a decisive response by the police. The placing of an effigy of a mosque on top of a bonfire amounts to incitement to hatred directed at real people who live, work and raise families in Northern Ireland. I mean, they really are furious about this, aren't they? They're all really angry about this. They're saying it's stirring up anti-Muslim hatred and intimidating people. I don't think that was the point at all. I think the point was to make the feeling known to the politicians what the actual feeling was about illegal immigration and extremist Islam. I mean, you couldn't get more obvious, and yet they claim it's all about something completely different. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, if the government were doing their job, they wouldn't have this problem, would they? You know, people wouldn't be burning effigies of migrants in a boat or whatever. If the government was actually doing their job, how about y'all, you know, actually do your job, what you're supposed to be doing? Amnesty International, too, makes me sick, by the way. You know, because you got this hysterical reaction from Amnesty International. And they're honestly, their reaction, because, again, since Muslims and Islam is kind of the focus of this article, I keep coming back to it. You know, you have to look at all of this. You know, you can't look at it in a vacuum. Anytime I see a story like this, I look at it in the context of what Israel is doing to the Palestinians and Lebanon, and it's not just Muslims in Lebanon, the Christians as well. They're equal opportunity genociders. But you know, Amnesty International's speaking out against that. They have spoke out against it, but compared to this hysterical reaction, it's been fairly, shall we say, fairly muted. In fact, I think Amnesty International basically finally had to be shamed into condemning what Israel's ethnic cleansing policies are. They finally kind of, to have any credibility at all, they finally had to speak out against it. But well, they got an opportunity here to jump up and act like, oh, yes, we're defending the Muslims who are just they're being threatened by this bonfire or something. You know, it's... Yeah, you said they're all really, really upset over it. No, they're not. This is just posturing. Remember, these people are all these government people and these people run these organizations. They're all liars. They just like the opportunity to posture and act like they're outraged. They're not. They're just not. I don't put much credibility in anything they said. This is just a chance for them to try to sound self-righteous, you know. If Amnesty International's Northern Ireland director feels so upset about this, then well, maybe he ought to be working harder to support, I don't know, the people have been thrown in prison in Britain for you know, protesting on behalf of the Palestinians. You know, where's his outrage about that? Maybe he said something here or there. I doubt it was as passionate as his posturing here in this article. It's all just fake, man. It's just theater. It's just fake. And they love to keep everybody kind of whipped up on this peripheral stuff so you don't notice that they themselves are the instigators. The government themselves are the instigators. They're not doing their job. They're the ones that enable all of this. They're the ones that have covered up the crime coming from there. You talked about the, you know, the multiple times crime rate from these groups coming in. And again, as we've already said, not to beat a dead horse, that's because you're getting the criminal element. It doesn't mean everybody from these countries acts like this. You're getting the worst of the worst. And the government's doing nothing. Nothing about it. But hey, be outraged. Run out here and act, do some moral posturing. You're such a good person. it's all very tiresome. It honestly kind of makes me sick.
Well, you know, if we didn't actually have multiculturalism, there would be no hate crimes that could ever take place. And I don't think people would really care what Muslims are up to. And it is the height of hypocrisy to complain about a cardboard effigy of a building on a bonfire and yet no complaint about the bombing of Lebanon. Well, Fermanagh and South Tyrone Sinn Féin MLA Colm Gildenew described the display on the bonfire as deplorable. He said the signage and effigy on the Moigeshell bonfire is a clear hate crime. This is fueled by hate and those that seek to bring division to our communities. I mean, that's a real buzzword, that, isn't it? They seek to bring division to our communities. It's like a mantra that they always repeat, these politicians. There is no place in our society for racism. That's another one. And it is the responsibility of all political representatives and community leaders to stand against it. The PSNI must investigate this as a matter of urgency to remove this disgraceful display. Well, they got what they wanted, didn't they? Because the owner set fire to it last night. Ulster Unionist Party leader John Burrows has called for the immediate removal of the offensive display, adding there can be no place for placing any place of worship on a bonfire and setting it alight. It is simply wrong. I guess it's just okay to set fire to the Notre Dame then and all those other places in France, the churches that were set fire to that nobody has even been arrested for. A DUP spokesman said, "We support the right of people to express lawful political opinions, even where those opinions are controversial or unpopular. Where the law is broken, it should be enforced. Where views are expressed lawfully, they should not be censored simply because some find them offensive. The 11th of July bonfires are a historic and cultural tradition stretching back to the fires lit to welcome the arrival of King William III. And that's interesting. That's quite a good statement there from the DUP, Democratic Unionist Party. They were part of a coalition with the Tories a few years back. And that's quite sensible of him to what he said there about the law, basically. And you should be free to have opinions that are controversial or unpopular. He continued, "These should be positive cultural celebrations. We support those within our community that wish to celebrate their culture by continuing with that tradition in a peaceful way. The placing of flags, effigies or other items on bonfires is not part of that tradition and should not take place." And that's a reference to Catholic flags and Catholic effigies being put on the bonfires in years ago. Because I'm not quite sure he's going to complain about an ISIS flag, which is actually on this bonfire at the moment. And we have a final statement here from the Moigeshell Bonfire Association. And they say it had noted the predictable fury in respect of the act of political protest at our bonfire site this year. So they're being extremely reasonable and sensible, and they're explaining that this is just political protest. The statement said, "This year we have focused on an issue of significant public interest. Our display may well shock, offend, or outrage others, but nonetheless it is an exercise in our rights under Article 10 of the ECHR. We note with some irony that it is the ECHR which has so often paved the way for mass illegal immigration and a failure to deport foreign criminals who have come here unlawfully that also now protects our right to protest in robust terms against that." Well, it seems that the police are ignoring the right to them to protest and arrested the guy for this. And yet the courts choose to uphold the ECHR when it comes to not deporting these people that carry out these crimes. He says, "If there was no uncontrolled illegal mass immigration, we would have no need to protest on this issue. Our display expressly does not target any individual. We make that very clear. Our opposition is not to people, but rather to ideology and government policy. Once this is appreciated, then it is very clear that this is no more and no less than an act of protest, which is lawful, protected expression." I think that's excellent. That's the actual Bonfire Association from the whole area. And they seem to be very level-headed. They seem to understand exactly what they're doing. They have a very good defence here against this accusation of hate crime. They're not targeting any individuals. They made it very clear that this was extremist Islam that they were against, and uncontrolled immigration, not against any individuals. But of course, the politicians and the media, they've all chosen to ignore that because it benefits them to silence any dissent, basically. They don't want dissenters. They don't want people forming their own opinions and protesting against this sort of thing. They want to intimidate people into not protesting. As I say, I think it's a very good statement from the Muigashell Bonfire Association. They seem to be quite nationalist-minded, I would say. What do you think of this, Grandpa? What are your final thoughts today?
Well, you were talking about the buzzwords this guy is vomiting out here. And I call those word spells. Those are word spells. They don't have any. When you start breaking them down and looking at them critically, they have no meaning. They're just word spells, and you're supposed to hear it and be kind of, in a sense, hypnotized by it and say, oh, yes, I don't want to be a evil person. Just to put a final, again, exclamation point, a final punctuation mark on all of this. I'm going to go back to this statement from the Ulster Unionist Party leader. John Burroughs has called for the immediate removal of the offensive display, adding, and this is the quote I wanted to get to, there can be no place for placing any place of worship on a bonfire. It's not an actual place of worship. See, this is what I mean, word spells. It's not an actual place of worship. It's a little cardboard box that's made up to look like a mosque. But he says there can be no place for placing any place of worship on a bonfire and setting it alight. It is simply wrong. And meanwhile, where was this guy when Israel was bombing actual mosques with people in them and saying, oh, well, Hamas is, you know, the mosque is Hamas. Where were they when they're bombing hospitals because Hamas is the hospital or whatever, the hospital is Hamas? Well, now they're blowing up ancient churches, Christian churches in Lebanon. Where's this guy at? Where's his outrage when Israel is doing that? No, his outrage is he's acting like an actual mosque is on the bonfire instead of a cardboard box. Again, I personally find it bad taste. Not something I would do, but I mean, come on. It's a cardboard box made up to look like a mosque. But he calls it a place of worship. There's no one in the box worshiping. It's an effigy. It's called an effigy for a reason. When people hang an effigy, they're not hanging the actual person. But where was he when actual literal mosques with people in them were being blown up? When Christian churches, ancient Christian churches in Lebanon and Syria being blown up with the support of the British government, along with the American government, and of course, our greatest ally who just loves doing that. You know, I don't think these people get a pass to stand up here with their fake moral indignation over a cardboard box on a bonfire when they're at best silent and at worst openly supporting, you know, actual killing of actual people. I don't think they get the benefit of the doubt to turn around and act like, oh, yes, we're so against all of this hatred. It's just so much hatred. And they turn around and are either silent or support actual genocide. There's my final thoughts, fam.
Well, you point out this mosque, the effigy of a mosque. I mean, it's not just a mosque. It's a mosque that's been taken over by ISIS. Again, I mean, I've made that point a few times here, but I think it needs to be stated. It's not simply a mosque. It's an ISIS mosque, and it's very clear about that. I think if this had gone to court, it can't do now, obviously, because there's no evidence left. I think if this had gone to court, it would have been a very interesting trial. And I think they had a very good defence, and I think they were very careful in the way that they actually put this and the way that they created it. And it has. It has stirred up lots of controversy. There are lots of news stories about it, and it's highlighting the fact that people are not happy about illegal immigration, and they're not happy about extremist Islam, and they're even more unhappy about having people beheaded on their streets thanks to the government's immigration policy. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much to the listeners for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.